Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up later this hour, Haiti and immigration. Wyclef Jean calls for a mass exodus from Port-au-Prince. Senegal says, come home to Africa, Haitians. The United States says, don't come here. And then also later this hour, we will go live to the inauguration of Governor Chris Christie, which will be getting underway in a little while. You'll be able to hear the entire inaugural address later on our website as well, by the way. So if you want to hear Chris Christie's inaugural address, go to WNYC.org about an hour from now when that will be taking place, and we'll have that there. But we'll go to the inauguration ceremonies and take more of your Facebook posts and web comments and, in a little while, phone calls about your hopes or fears for a Chris Christie administration. So that's coming up. The Haiti immigration discussion is coming up. But right now, New York stands to win as much as $700 million from the Obama administration's education reform initiative, the Race to the Top program. The application is due this afternoon, as we've been telling you. But surprise, surprise, Albany can't get it together to take a vote on an issue that may make or break the state's application. The issue is charter schools. And since the Race to the Top program favors lifting restrictions on new charter schools, the state has to vote on whether to raise the cap, now set at 200 schools. So now state legislative leaders have proposed a few additional changes to the way charter schools are created, challenging Mayor Bloomberg's control over the process, and the mayor and the governor are less than thrilled. Joining me now to explain what's at stake and what exactly they're fighting over in Albany is Maura Walls, reporter at GothamSchools.org. Maura, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
How much does the cap, the actual cap on the number of charter schools, which can now only be 200 in New York State, matter to the viability of the application? Because the governor, as I understand it, wants the cap raised to 460. The Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, says a cap of 400 even is sufficient. How much does this number matter?
Well, the applications are scored on a rubric. So the total Race to the Top applications are worth 500 points. And of those, a state's attitude towards charter schools are worth 40 points. The specific cap, I mean, it depends on who you ask how much that is worth. A lot of people, the teachers union, the Board of Regents Chancellor Merrill Tisch, are downplaying that importance. The head of the teachers union, Michael Mulgrew, says, you know, the actual cap on the number of charters that are allowed in the state is worth only about 8 points. Other, you know, charter advocates, the mayor, the governor, are saying that it's worth a lot, and particularly because the messages that are being sent by federal officials is that the competition is going to come down to just a few points between states. They're saying that it's going to be very, very competitive, and, you know, 8 points could matter. So it could matter a little bit, or it could matter a lot.
Why are they dickering over a number anyway? Why is there a numerical cap on the number of charter schools that there may be in the state of New York? Why not set out criteria that charter school applicants would need to meet that, you know, that are quality control, and that any group that meets those criteria could set up a charter school? Why are we even talking numerically?
Because a lot of people, I mean, again, including Board of Regents Chancellor Merrill Tisch, say that the cap, you know, having a cap prevents us from expanding just at any rate. I think that the cap, the argument is that the cap actually sets a, you know, it makes it more competitive to open a charter school. You know, I think that on the other end, I think you're right. You know, there is the argument that if we just had a really stringent set of requirements for who could open them, that would accomplish the same thing. But a lot of people say that one of the reasons that New York has a particularly strong charter movement and that charter schools here have performed particularly well is because we have this cap, and because there, you know, that makes it much more competitive to open a school.
So only the best charter schools actually get opened in New York State. So the quality of charter schools is high, at least under that way of looking at it. And the cap is not the only point of contention. Assembly Speaker Shelley Silver and other legislative leaders are pushing for additional changes that would limit the city's control over this process.
Right.
And the governor doesn't support these additional limits. They're viewed as by the governor and the mayor as just obstacles to forming more charter schools, obstacles being placed on behalf of the teachers union. But I put that question to State Senator Eric Schneiderman, who was on the show last hour, and here's how he defended the legislature's version.
Certainly, most of us in the legislature support the development of high-performing charter schools, but we do want accountability and transparency and want to make sure that, for example, I have a district with a lot of English language learners, and charter schools in New York have done a terrible job of dealing with English language learners. So that's something that we're trying to address.
So three issues there: accountability, transparency, and standards for English language learners. First, on the accountability and transparency, I guess one man's accountability and transparency is another man's roadblock to protect teachers from non-union jobs.
Right, right. And I think that what's interesting is that a lot of the accountability measures that the legislature has been proposing, a charter advocate I was just speaking to earlier today was saying that a lot of those are things that already happened, but I think the main criticism is that there's not a lot of sort of follow-up on, you know, whether or not a charter school's finances can be audited. Those are all things that a lot of people say the charter schools aren't doing a very good job with. And the governor's bill, the governor's compromise bill that he introduced last night actually keeps a few of those measures in it, sort of brings them over from Assembly Speaker Silver's bill.
And listeners, we can take some phone calls on this. The deadline is at hand this afternoon for the state after months of debate, and we've certainly covered this on this program many times, on various aspects, various points of contention over how the state should apply for this Race to the Top grant from the Obama administration. As much as $700 million could come to New York. They do demand reforms. This is an Obama-Arne Duncan thing. Arne Duncan, the education secretary under President Obama, they want reforms that in many cases teachers' unions don't like. Accountability in how teachers are paid based to some degree on the performance of their students on standardized tests. Teachers don't like that and think it's wrong-headed. And now these things that we've been talking about so far with respect to obstacles to charter schools, they want a pretty clear path to creating charter schools, does the Obama administration. And all these things are going to be taken into account to determine how much money New York State gets, if they even get anything in this Race to the Top application process. So if there are charter school advocates or charter school creators or students or teachers listening, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. How should this be resolved? Any other teachers listening on your prep period, perhaps, or homesick, give us a call. If you're more skeptical of the way the mayor and the governor want to do this, should there be a cap on charter schools? Does this really threaten teachers' working conditions? 212-433-WNYC. We'll take a few phone calls on this. For Maura Waltz, reporter at GothamSchools.org, as that deadline is at hand. And more, another controversy is who gets to approve charter school applications. So
right.
Instead of the New York City Schools Chancellor and the SUNY Board of Trustees who approve charter schools now, the power would be in the hands of the State Board of Regents.
Right, right. Right now, a charter school, if you wanted to start a charter school, Brian, you could submit an application to either the Board of Regents or the school district, which, in New York's case is obviously the chancellor, or the State University of New York. And
so that's enough to make some listeners' eyes glaze over right there. They're going to think, well, what's the difference between the SUNY Board of Trustees and the State Board of Regents? They just both sound like these statewide bureaucratic bodies.
Well, the key issue is actually who appoints the Board of Regents and who appoints the SUNY Board of Trustees. So in this case, you know, the governor appoints the SUNY trustees and the legislature appoints the Board of Regents. And so by wanting to consolidate all of the power to authorize charter schools under the Board of Regents, the legislature is really saying that they want to control that. I think that's sort of the key issue, is that it's stripping the current power that the city and the governor have over how many charter schools get authorized, what charter schools get authorized, where they're going to be, and consolidates that with a board that is essentially controlled by the legislature.
And going back to the Eric Schneiderman clip, He talked about parents. They are proposing, the legislature is, additional parental and community input in the location and creation of charter schools. And even parents at current schools that would close having some say. Is that considered a poison pill for the creation of charter schools?
That's huge, actually. In New York City in particular, there's really, really heated debates over where charter schools get located. The mayor and the chancellor have frequently been putting charter schools into the same buildings with district schools, and that's been causing a lot of tension. And so what the legislature's bill would do is have the charter schools, before they're even approved, know where they're going to be going, and if they're going in to share a building with a district school, have the parents of the students who are already at that school approve, which, you know, it's unclear exactly how they would deliver that approval. But I think that that's something that really worries a lot of charter advocates, because it's definitely not clear that, at least in the current environment, that's something that would happen a lot. So, you know, that the parents of district school students would want a charter school sharing their building.
Dee in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dee.
Hi. There's an issue that's sort of been glossed over, but I think is probably really important, which is that the proposed bills from the teachers union and Shelley Silverside are saying that charters ought to be audited and the audits made public. I have no problems with that. I think it's a great idea. But those are going to be single school audits. You do not get single school audits in the New York City Department of Education. At best, if you're lucky, you'll get an entire community school district audit covering 20 or 30 schools.
You're talking about auditing the financial books?
That's right. And so, for example, when they finished Project Liberty, the 9/11 counseling program, FEMA refused to give the city $26 million in reimbursements because they said there was no documentation that the services had actually been provided. I saw some of the little sample audits of schools that happened to show what they had done with their Project Liberty money. And what a number of principals said was they had never heard of the program and that the district office may have put money for it on their paper budgets, but they perhaps assigned the people who did it someplace else if anybody had done it at all.
So I get your point. You're saying there's a more tight auditing structure for the finances of charter schools. Dee, thank you very much. Here is Elizabeth in Bedford-Stuyvesant, parent of a charter student. Is that right, Elizabeth?
That's right, yes. And we're extremely happy with our school. And the point I wanted to make is that there obviously is a political liability for legislators to go against the UFT in support of charter schools, really, in any way. They're sticking their neck out. And it's absolutely why I voted for Bloomberg, because he's got a thick neck on this issue, and I'm really grateful for his advocacy. But what politicians have told us is that they would like to support us, but need the charter school advocate voice to be much more consolidated and clear politically so that they can point to constituents that they're supporting instead of just going out on their own principles. And so that's something we're working on. There's actually a charter school advocacy day in Albany on February 2nd.
Liz, are you willing to stay on the line and talk to another Liz who's a public school teacher who doesn't see things the same way?
Yeah,
all
sure.
Right. Now, let's see. Debbie, help me put both of these calls on at the same time. So Elizabeth in Bedford-Stuyvesant is still with us, and we're going to take Liz in Jersey City as well. Liz, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
Did you hear the charter school parent on just a minute ago who's still on?
Yes, I did. And I, as a parent also, I understand that education of our children is the most important thing. However, by opening charter schools and it takes away the funding from public school education. And when we're taking the funding away from public school education, how can we have public education that is a success when we're taking funding away by putting it into charter schools? So that's my big objection to charter schools, is we're taking money away from public school education and we're putting it in charter schools and we're losing funding. So how? So everybody's setting up public schools for failure.
Elizabeth, you want to take a shot at that?
Sure. It's not really a point that I understand, although, I've heard it before. My son was at a neighborhood public school last year, and this year we moved him into a charter school. The money that is paid for his education is 80% this year of what it was last year. So it's actually cheaper for him to go to a charter school as far as city's finances are concerned. And we also are in... Art school is in a building that houses another regular public school, because charter schools are public schools, and it's the same students that are being served. These are students who need to be educated and have a right to a free, excellent education, just like everybody. It's the same
students. Absolutely.
But let me just finish.
And
so in addition, this is a school that the school that he's housed in was a school that had a tremendous amount of space because it was a severely under-enrolled school. Now it's full. So the building costs are the same as they were last year, but they're housing 120 more students. And all of those 120 students are being funded at 80% of where they would have been if they were going to a, quote, regular public school. So it's cheaper.
Go ahead, Liz.
Right. It's cheaper. It's cheaper for the student, and it's also the teachers are getting paid less. And, you know, then we also talk about merit pay and how, you know, merit pay, it depends on student success rates and things like that. You know, I'm teaching in an inner city school. So the issues that we are facing and the struggles that we face, and on top of it, you know, it's like, okay, well, let's take away from the public school and put it towards a charter school. So that funding, you know, for a student might be cheaper, but it's also cheaper to pay a teacher in the charter school. Teachers in charter schools are not getting the same pay as in a public school. And then on top of it, teachers aren't getting paid the same, but they don't have the challenges that they're meeting in the public school education system.
I cannot understand why that argument persists. Because they are the same students. Our school is the school itself building is between two gigantic housing projects, Marcy Houses and Tompkins Houses.
They're by lottery. We're going to run out of time in a minute, but they're chosen by lottery,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, and it serves the exact
lottery.
Same population
as the
deepest inner city students. Many have severe financial and other kind of problems.
We have Liz the parent and
people.
Liz the teacher. Liz the teacher, I'll give you the last word, but you got to do it in 15 seconds.
Charter schools are not the answer. It takes away from public education, and that's what's important. We have to put money back into our public education
system.
It is.
Charter schools are public education.
Liz the parent, Liz the teacher, thank you both so much for calling in and engaging with each other. We really, really appreciate it. And we want to give the last word here to our guest, Maura Waltz, reporter with GothamSchools.org. First, can you settle the disagreement there about whether the charter schools actually do take money away from other private schools?
I think if I could settle that particular disagreement, I should be a policymaker and not a journalist. I think that they did a really good job of laying out what the contours of that argument are, though. I think that, you know, on the one hand, you know, the public or, you know, traditional public school supporters are saying that this is like sapping resources from schools that need more money to, you know, to fix all of their problems, whereas, you know, a lot of really, really passionate charter school parents or equally passionate to the supporters of the traditional public schools are saying these are really good schools that are giving students, you know, an opportunity that they didn't have before, to which, you know, opponents of the charter schools then reply, but, you know, are they necessarily serving the same students? That's an argument that you hear a lot, and I think that you heard from Senator Schneiderman earlier today. So, I mean, I think that that's the big question. And I think that one of the things that will be interesting is to see, you know, if this bill passes, you know, if we start to get more information about sort of what students are going to these schools. I think that a lot of questions about you know, what charter schools, what they'll continue to look like going forward will start to be answered, which I think it will be really interesting.
So last thing, are they going to settle this by the deadline? They have to meet a deadline for the application to the Federal Race to the Top grant program by settling this charter school thing by 4 o'clock this afternoon. Are they going to make it?
Well, the last I saw, the assembly had just adjourned until after the governor's budget presentation, so they were going to come back at 11:30. If they are able to pass something, the application has to be hand-delivered or delivered in paper to Washington by 4 o'clock. Federal officials have told me that it's really important that, you know, what happens by the deadline. There's a big difference between saying we plan on raising the cap and we have raised the cap. From what I understand, it's been very touch and go. I think the place to watch is the Senate, whether or not they're going to pass it, because I think that there's a lot more support in the Assembly right now than there is in the Senate. I've from what I've been hearing from people who are there, everyone has been saying that it's impossible to predict. So it's going to be a fascinating afternoon.
Maura Wallace, reporter at GothamSchools.org. Thanks so much for keeping us up to date.
All right, thanks.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC coming up in a minute. Haiti and immigration. Wyclef Jean calls for a mass exodus from Port-au-Prince. Senegal says, come home to Africa. The United States says, don't come here. Stay tuned, and Haitians will take your calls. More phone calls from Haitian New Yorkers, Haitian New Jerseyans, Haitians in Connecticut, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let's talk about some immigration issues pertinent to the Haitian disaster.